I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter number 2, I think it is. Ephesians chapter 2. One of the things you have to forgive me of is my eyesight has gotten very, very poor through all of this. Never was good, but I'm looking at my notes and I see mostly blur. So what is three quarters of a page of notes when a guy preaches could turn into four pages. So just relax, but not too much. Amen? I mean, just lean back and turn on the mind. Don't shut it off, okay? And let God speak to your heart this morning. I was mentioned about the faith. The following song was, I lost it. What was it? Oh, Amazing Grace. I'm sorry. Yeah, Amazing Grace. And I asked for that song because the title of the message today is The Marvelous Grace of God. The Marvelous Grace of God. And then that song that my wife just sang, what a beautiful song. It really is the end of grace. Maybe I should say the target of grace, putting us into the very presence of Almighty God. Ephesians chapter number 2, and I want to read from verse number 1 down to verse 13. Right off we come to a tremendous word. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. How many have ever put a sliver under your fingernail? What happened? It hurt, didn't it? That is the quick of the flesh. See? That's one of the spots, the quick of the flesh. In other words, it'll hurt really quick there. See? And what it's telling us is it is alive. It's alive. And so the Word of God says, and you hath he quickened. In other words, those of you he has enlivened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh, now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the, what, gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by his blood. We often look at verses 8, 9, and 10, but also verse 13. What a tremendous truth he has here. Those who are far off are made nigh. That means near, by the blood of Christ, because he was willing to give of his blood, in other words, his life, that you and I might be saved. The wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death. And because of that, Hey, you know what? You can actually see up here. Because of that, we find that you and I have our sins paid for because Jesus died in our place. How do we know that? The blood of Christ. Amen. Don't ever be ashamed of the blood of Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. We have this wonderful privilege to be in the house of the Lord on this day. Lord God, I pray that you might give me strength, both of mind and soul and physical strength as well. Lord Jesus, that you might honor yourself through what is said and done today. We ask you these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. The marvelous grace of God. One holy night. By the way, I've spent 89 days in the hospital since March 21st. If you thought I was worthless, ask the people that are paying my bills, which is you, to your taxes. Keep your jobs, brethren. Years ago, there was a television show called The $6 Million Man. I may be getting closer. But on one of those nights, I woke up and just laid there. You ever had one of those nights? And I just laid there, and I wasn't stewing about anything. I wasn't worried about anything. There wasn't anything I could do anyways. I couldn't even get my bottom out of the hole in the bed. And I was just stuck. And so I began to think about some things, and God placed upon my mind the extremely wonderful grace of God. It began to overtake me, and a verse came to my mind that really dominated my heart then for the next several days. We find that in the book of Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read the verse before and after it. And as God has directed the Apostle Paul in these words, he said, "And be found in him, having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He says, "Be found in him, not having his righteousness, not having what we think is good in our lives, but through faith in Christ, which has been then placed upon us," he is thanking God for. And then he says this in verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." As I began to think about that verse, "that I may know him," what a wonderful thing to be able to not just know about God, but know him. I mean, to have that intimate relationship with him. And of course, we know that relationships are built on communication one with another. They're built because one is willing to speak, the other is willing to listen, and vice versa. And so that fellowship is a marvelous thing that you and I can have. And he says, "that I may know him." I might know him. "And the power of his resurrection." I don't remember this. I was out, but I was told that I coded two times in that first day of after the operation. And I guess they pounded on my chest, gave me those electrodes they stick on your chest and make you bounce. And I think I still feel it. But I had that take place in my life. I didn't know it, but I was told. And so as I thought about this verse, "the power of his resurrection," I thought, wow, God saved me for some reason. I've also had the thought a few times, he didn't want me yet. But nonetheless, he is our wondrous one in our lives, the power of his resurrection. But the part that really took over my mind, it says, "and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. My sufferings were nothing like his. But you know, through sufferings, through the agonies and through the pain and all the things that go forth in our lives physically, how we can learn some marvelous lessons, how we can gain and go forward in it. And so that verse became very, very real to me. I knew that I had experienced it more dramatically than ever before. And so as I come to Ephesians chapter 2 with that in mind, there is new insight and marvel at the grace of God. We talked just a bit about verse number 1, but let me go back there for a moment. You hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sins. It tells us our condition. It tells us that we are outside of the realms of God. If something is dead, you cannot communicate with them. They're gone. Never, ever again to be able to speak with him. And yet we find that God raised us up. We're not able before that time to speak with God. We're not able before that time to have that intimate fellowship. We're not able because we've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We are dead in our sins and trespasses. But when you and I are willing to allow him to come into our lives, he will quicken us. That's God's desire. And then as I read on, we find not only it is enlivening, but we also find, I believe, that it's more deeply appreciated than ever before. It says in verse number 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, the Bible says, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. God is seeking to teach us here that you and I did not have a glorious past. You and I were outside of the realm of God, and yet we find his grace is marvelous. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So what is God showing us? God is showing us that as we suffer in this life, as we go through the things of this life, we ought to stop and look at him and see his marvelous, wonderful grace. Verse number 4 says, but God, who is what? Rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we are dead in sins, hath what? Quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I find it interesting that in verse 4, he uses the word mercy, and in verse 5, he speaks of grace. I believe mercy is that which we are forgiven of in the past. And we receive the mercy of God as God wipes away the past. Grace, however, is that which God has given to us whereby we can live now and into the future. And so by grace, right now, I can be saved. Thank God that happened 52 years ago, and can be in the very presence of Almighty God when this old body dies. Verse number 4, rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. I want you to notice verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Raised us up, how? Together. One of the things you find as you go through the Word of God, and you see it in this particular chapter, is the terms referring to people. Very often as he's writing the book of Ephesians in this chapter, we'll find what do you call this crazy thing? a word that takes place of a noun. I see you all passed English, didn't you? Yeah, it's a pronoun, okay? Pro meaning professional, I guess. Anyways, the pronoun, us or we, referring to all of us. And yet we find that he also speaks of that which is very personal, which has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that your faith, your relationship with God, cannot reach its fullest outside of God's people? And the organization that God has given us for us to gather together into is very simply his church. And to be in a place where his people are at. Raise us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Wow, amazing to me that God wants to showcase us throughout all of eternity. He wants to show those, I would assume angels or beings are within the boundaries of heaven, that indeed his riches, his grace has been bestowed upon us. There's a song we sing sometimes. They're saved by God. There are some who would object to that song because it says, I am a sinner. But thank God, though we are sinners, we can be saved by his marvelous grace. I was saved. Salvation was all about what I did. I thought the works that were out there. I thought I was going to Sunday school, getting different aspects of the church. By the way, those things, but it doesn't make you any more saved. It'll make you happier because you're in the will of God, but they don't save you. And thank God for his mercy that he wants to showcase throughout all of eternity. And then I look at the last few verses. I get just enamored with these. Verse number 8, I'm going to read these again. He says, for by grace are you what? Saved by, or through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What's God's gift? I think it's the faith. It's grace. Verse 9 says, not of works, any man we do, it's by the grace of God. In other words, every one of us is in a boat that's sinking. The bottom has a hole in it. It's too big to repair. We are going down. And yet there's one who comes along and throws us a life preserver. And that one who comes is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we reach out, believing that he will pull us to himself, he does exactly that. And it's not something we do, it's by the belief that that thing is for our protection. Verse number 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not good works make us saved, but God creates us in him to be like him, that you and I might show forth the marvelous grace of God. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by hand, at time Christ, from the commonwealth of Israel. Somebody wants to tell you about some aliens. There it is in the Bible. And strangers from the covenants of promise. having no hope and without God in the world. He just described our life before salvation. And then he says in verse 14, for he is, or verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And though we may have been far from God, by his grace we can brought near to him. You say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I've accepted Christ, my Savior. Praise the Lord. You ought to have some understanding then about the grace of God. But do you realize that God wants to graciously work in your life? And too often we just seek to do it by our own strength. We seek to accomplish by our own means, our own manipulations. But God wants us just to rely upon him. Right now, I do not know the condition of my body. Three times I've had blood infection that if untreated would have killed me. And this third time, they think they know where the source of it's been, but they're not sure. How do you go forward? You just say, God, I'm in your hands. We do what we do and keep on going. And when God wants to stop it, that's his business. Amen. That might be at 70, that might be at 80. My doctor told me some time ago, 85. So I'm kind of looking at that number. Anyways, whatever it is, God is good. And his grace is marvelous. So when we stop and think about that verse, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. His grace. It is amazing. I've learned it in a couple of ways. I've learned it from the Word of God. I've learned it from experience. And I imagine because the old mind is not what it ought to be, I have to relearn that quite often. But thank God for his grace. Amen. Thank God that he is willing to forgive us of all the things we've done against him. What we got to do? Nothing. Nothing. Whether you're saved or lost, for the grace of God, you do nothing. You receive it. That's all you got to do. You receive it. I ask you this morning, I beg you this morning, first of all, if you don't know Christ, your Savior, that you'd be willing to receive his grace into your life, realizing that your sin has taken you to an everlasting hell. And if you're a Christian, that you might realize the marvelous grace of God as he wishes to direct and take us through this life. Because in yourself, you have not the strength to do it. You'll fail over and over. Many of you this morning could stand up here and give testimony as to how you tried to do it and didn't listen to God, and how God wants to lead and direct. I know we sang it a little while ago, but I'd like for us to just do a cappella, Jeff, whatever that number was. 187. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let that be the operational principle of your life. I'm going to ask you while we stand that if God has spoken to your heart to just step out of your seat. Maybe you need to come up here and ask God to do something in your life. Maybe you are saved and you've not followed the Lord in baptism. Maybe you're saved and baptized and you believe God wants you to be a part of this local church. Now's the time. This is the place. You're the people. Let God have his way this morning. Jeff.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear?
Yeah.
Grace my fear relieved. Precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
Well, praise the Lord for his grace. Amen. You're sitting a newlywed couple that have already had their first fight. And Nick lost. And every man in this room says, I understand very deeply. Oh, I'm just teasing there. They've come this morning because Nick's been saved. He's been baptized, I think. And he's, of course, married now. And desires to become a part of this local church. Amen. And you come to stand beside him. Amen. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Anybody opposed to that? Well, I was going to say I meet behind my woodshed, but you'll have to wait a little bit until I can get there. Listen, we're going to have a word of prayer. And you come up and say welcome. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful, beautiful grace. Lord, we stand here today realizing that without it, we'd be of all men most hopeless and helpless. So, Lord, we thank you so much today. Lord, I can stand here today thankful for the grace of God that entered my son's life. And Lord, that I can realize that he be in your presence this very day. Thank you for who you are. And oh God, may we grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.